Today's first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah speaks about the coming of the Messiah who is going to come to implement justice into the world. In fact, in that short passage we had today, that word justice is used three times, ultimately in reference to the great work that Jesus is going to set about to accomplish. But we can ask ourselves the question, what kind of justice did Jesus bring? And for whom did Jesus bring justice? One of the traditional images of justice are balancing scales. Because when you talk about justice, ultimately, you're talking about trying to right a wrong and to create a balance out of where an imbalance has occurred. One easy example to think of would be if you throw a ball and break your neighbor's window, it is very nice to come over there and say you're sorry, but justice would also demand that you would pay for them to get a new window. This is really what justice is all about. It is restoring balance, and it is, in a sense, paying back against the offense which had been committed. When we think of justice from this perspective, and we consider our offenses with God, we can very quickly perceive that we have a rather massive problem on our hands. And the problem is this. We finite, limited human beings, our actions therefore have a limited amount of value and merit to them. So when we commit an offense against a God who is infinitely good, what can we ever do to make up with the bond that we have broken with God through the offense that we have committed? It kind of renders us ultimately helpless to be able to try and restore justice in our relationship with God. And this, for people like St. Anselm and St. Thomas Aquinas, is precisely where Jesus enters in. Jesus, in his divine nature, his every action carries with it an infinite value, and Jesus, in his human nature, is able to touch upon our human condition and therefore be our representative and mediator. And therefore, through his actions, most notably through his actions of dying on the cross, Jesus brings about an infinite merit. And as our mediator, he is able to restore us to justice with God or to restore us into communion with God. But we can also ask the question then, where is justice in all of this for Jesus? Or we could say for God. And here ultimately what we're going to see is that God's love is so great and so strong that it really betrays his justice. As Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said in his encyclical Deus Caritas Est, God's love is so great that it turns God against himself, his love against his justice. In other words, the power of God's love is so overwhelming, is so mighty and great that he can't help but give himself to be able to restore us into relationship with him, even though we were the very perpetrators who caused the break to begin with. It's in this context that we can begin to understand Mary's gesture of taking a liter of very costly aromatic nard and anointing Jesus' feet with it and drying it with her hair. In fact, we're told it was so expensive, it was 300 days' wages worth. This kind of lavish, very extravagant gesture of Mary, which some criticize, really winds up being a rather proportionate expression for exactly what Jesus is going to do on the cross, where he is going to manifest the lavish, extravagant love of God that is so great that it turns against his justice in order to save us from our sins. Mary's gesture really prefigures the lavishness and extravagance of the love of God that will be shown to us on the cross. My brothers and sisters, as we proceed forward on this Holy Week, let us never forget to be truly grateful for this immense and lavish gift of God's love that turns against his justice to restore us in our relationship with him. And in our hearts filled with gratitude, let us too respond proportionately to God's love by striving to give him all of our hearts in the most generous way possible. Amen.